guests and everything and trying to organize this. And it's I'm always amazed at just how responsive it is immediately. And it's individual, I say, because you said it can help heal and it can help nourish the spirit and the mind. And whenever I interact with somebody who actually listens, and I go like, I produce for Jerry, I help him record, they go, whoa, and they love it. Like, tell him I love it. And I go, of course, I'll let him know. Like, and but here's the thing, that's like that energy, when that joy that they get at the moment, I kind of receive that too. It's like vicariously through me, and that's some medicine, man, because your words I get to listen to on repeat, and I listen to an episode over and over and over, and I learn to where to cut things out and where to edit things, and so it's just things get looped, and I don't know how many times I've left with the saying of Jerry's, and the episode may not even be out yet. I'm just repeating things ad nauseum, and it's nice because I'm going like, I heard this, and I heard it from Jerry himself, and so I feel very privileged in that way. But the feedback, what I take from it, is it's needed, and to me, that teaching you received from your elder, I never get tired of that story because it's so literal, just as much as it is metaphorical. Teachings in the air, it's going through, you know, somebody's Wi-Fi signal to their phone or to their speaker, and it's literally transferring through their house and through their bodies. And it's great positive words, because I love when people give me feedback, and it's usually really, really excited because you've helped guide them through something that's usually very personal, because when we're going through problems, it feels very individual. It feels like us, like ours, our individual issue. And then you greet them in such a way that they go like, oh, wow, I'm not alone in this. Like, It removes those barriers of like, is everyone else having the same? It's the human experience. And we're just transcending those borders and letting them know you're having the human experience. There's difficult feelings and emotions everywhere. So to get the feedback I've been receiving, it's amazing. So what I've witnessed is genuine eyes light up and smiles when they go, I know Uncle Jerry too, or I love Uncle Jerry. Like, and because I told people I've worked with you, and they immediately kind of become my friend instantly just through that, like the ability of you let me work with you and record and put out this, trusting me with the audio and your words. It's interesting in that way that I'm seeing it play out in real life, because other people have greeted me in the same way and trusted me, and like Uncle Jerry trusts you, so I trust you, and it's really, really a warming feeling. So I know it's crucial. I know it's crucial because not everywhere has access to an elder or even gentle words. And it's even as funny as like as simple as like people just love to hear your voice, the calmness and your approach to everything. So maybe they can't come up with a teaching off the top of their head. I'm not quizzing them, but they just go, I like to just hear them talk. And I go like, I know, I agree. So what I take away from it is really at that one-to-one face value when I see somebody light up and they tell me how much they love the podcast. So I feel immense joy from those moments too.
Oh, thank you. And I've heard people say I could listen to you all day, to me, you know. All right, Jake, what have you witnessed of this world of TIA podcast?
Hello. Yeah, I think, you know, reflecting on my own journey, I didn't have the opportunity to grow up in a cultural way. My my mom and my grandpa didn't have those people in their lives. You know, I'm really lucky for the upbringing that I had with such a large extended family. But you know, we just our kind of further extended family and relatives and community were just we just didn't have a chance to spend time with them growing up. So thinking back to when I was younger, because my Nama really imparted that to myself and my cousins, that you know, we were, in her own words, you know, we were native, but she just didn't know herself enough to know where we came from. So it was kind of a long process of understanding whereabouts I kind of fit into that community, and I just know how valuable it would have been when I was doing that journey and when I was younger to be able to have a voice like Jerry's to kind of situate me, I guess, because it's, when you're kind of trying to do that learning in a vacuum, it can be really difficult to understand completely where it's appropriate for you to be, or where you ought to be, or who you should be reaching out to speak to. So I think that the work that Uncle does here is, you know, so important. And I think it's kind of hard for us to even know how important it is. I was looking at some of the statistics from our content, looking at the graphs and everything. I thought it was really interesting that on a lot of the social media and podcast kind of reports or whatever, it'll have like the major cities in Canada, and then anything that isn't, say, like Saskatoon, Vancouver, Edmonton, everything else just kind of gets put into this really big category of other, which is just small communities, and that could be like a little town or a reserve. And you know, our viewership and our listenership are 50% from those communities. And that made me feel really good about the work that we do, to know that, you know, because there's not high enough numbers to say for certain, but it just made me feel really good to know that, you know, this is a voice that's really needed, and people are finding it. And I think it makes me feel really warm inside to know that we have that reach, and that Jerry's the person that's sending the teachings in the air, you know?
Yes, you know, I hear you, both of you, you know, and it's warmed my heart to know that our reach is reaching the communities too. That really touched me, because I worry about our communities, and I know there's goodness happening in all of our communities. But I worry about the ones that are lost, and that maybe they'll hear something that will make them have a commitment to themselves to seek healing, to know that healing is possible, and that we're all struggling human beings. You know, I'm not afraid to talk about myself in the podcast, that I was an alcoholic, a fall-down drunk, drug addict. Because I feel that sometimes people hear that and say, hey, if he can do it, I can do it, you know. That's why I'm not afraid, I guess, that vulnerability to let people know who I was. I'm not proud of that by any means, you know, but to get the message out there, I think it's, I look at it as a gift. Everything I pass on comes from elders. You know, I don't have college or university teachings. I go to a lot of them and speak, listen. But my teachings from the elders that they put in the air, because they didn't have books, the elders that taught me, you know, they sat me down and I listened to them. And then those become the teachings in the air. So I'm just so glad that to have this honor. It's actually an honor to speak to people in my language, Kualut. Kualut and Shnuknu, speak to the friends and relatives. They just didn't ask anybody to do that. They ask people they could trust that you're not going to scold the people. You're not going to be negative with them. Quaalude, you're going to share with them. Goodness. I remember the elder say, Amakalute, Jerry, Amakalute. Good words, Jerry. Share good words. Oshkosha, Kal Kalute. Don't be saying bad words. I remember that. It was almost, at that time, it was like a plea that I heard from the elders. They didn't want me to go the other way. They're using bad words. Hurtful, harmful words. Amakalute, Jerry. Good words. So I follow those teachings to the best of my ability. So I'm grateful for my two nephews here. They come and fix up my computer, my soundboard, my mics, get the adjustment levels. Because it takes me a long time when I'm by myself. I'll record and then I'll listen. I'll say, oh, geez, I have to fix that mic. It takes me a couple hours watching YouTube, you know, and they come in and they do it in a day, and I'm so thankful for that. Okay, it comes to the time for the show called Teachings in the Air, where I ask my guests to give a message to whoever they choose to in the world that might hear Teachings in the Air. So, Jordan, speak from the heart, you know, shoot from the hip and the lip, and let the people out there find somebody to give a message to.
I think lately what's really been on my mind, and it's the journey I've been going through, so I think there's got to be others that I'd like to reverberate that to, and that's to seek the truth in the vaguest form, but like the truth about like yourself. There's multiple truths, like your truth. Seek the truth about yourself and be honest with yourself, because those are things I'm learning in order to heal and like who I am and accept those, you know, like you can't just weigh yourself down with these ideas of good and bad and all these things that create guilt and shame. And once again, this is my personal experience and my journey that I'm going through. So there's this quote I think of, and it goes, the truth is like a lion. You don't need to defend it. Set it free and it will defend itself. And really, like, one of the reasons I fully back this podcast too is the message. It feels like the truth. Sometimes when I feel like I'm having a difficult thought process or anything like that, the way society and the world's going, sometimes you just release a message that reinforces like, oh, I feel safe in that then, because you spoke to the same sentiment as how I feel. So as difficult as it feels sometimes to have your feelings or your thoughts or anything like that, just acknowledge it as the truth. It's okay. As long as it's okay, you're okay to be you. That's your truth. So don't let the outside world or anything tell you otherwise. So, and once we got down to that, I was able to do some real work and kind of learn about myself and how I approach this world and what I let into my life from the outside world, because the world has so many external forces trying to reach into our body and our spirit and kind of take from us or tell us something. So it takes some time and real practice to work on your truth. So my whole thing lately is practice the truth. Don't look away from it. Like, each time you lie or you've been lied to, reality shifts a little bit. And eventually you could lose sight of a lot of reality. So truth is a big deal for me as of late. And that would be my message to anyone. So whether it's within yourself or when it's outside of the world, don't let people shift the truth, and try to learn as much as you can about it.
Thank you, nephew. It's a wonderful message. It's probably it's a critical to do that, to start your healing, is to start with yourself. Who am I? What's my truth? And then others will start to, I think, because that's the same with me. In my life, I had to admit, that's being the truth, I'm an alcoholic. You know, this is messing up my life. I must stop it. That was the truth. It is critical for me to admit that, because I was in denial for years. Oh, no, I'm not a drunk. I'm not an alcoholic, you know. So that's just one example. Jake, you got a message for the people?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I think I'd like to say, you know, to anybody and everybody that wants to kind of reconnect or learn more about where they've come from or their families, you know, the first step is to put yourself out there. You know, it's never too late to learn to sing or to connect with your relatives. Don't feel afraid, you know, just go with no expectations and with all the humility that you can muster. You know, in my experience, elders have been really, really, really excited and happy to meet family that they didn't know they have. And, you know, the generosity of the people that I've met in my journey has been really so incredible. And it's really helped me so much in my own life, you know, to sing and to heal with these ways that have been kind of, you know, kept alive by our elders and other young people and knowledge keepers. So, you know, as much as it's helped me, it's also, I feel that it's as much about me making sure that I learn these things so that I can pass it on to my immediate family. Like my little sister had her son this year, and, you know, he's about to turn one. So I'm really thinking about the things that I've been able to learn now and into the future that I'll be able to share with my nephew and with my friends' kids, with my cousins and my other little nieces and nibblings and whatnot. But yeah, you know, this is, we all have a responsibility to these teachings and to kind of give them back to our relations, you know, because we all know how much it's helped us. So I think that as much as we have a responsibility to learn, we have a responsibility to share. So I think that's, I think that's what I'd like to share.
Oh, thank you. You know, I heard two critical beliefs, because we go by what we believe, the truth and fearlessness. Be truthful and be fearless. Go, even if you're going to be rejected, go over there and say, I'm interested. You know, I'd like to learn this, or about family, like Jake is saying. You know, so those are two very good messages. And my message is to the life givers, as I was listening to my nephews, I was thankful for their mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. I've been sort of focusing on life givers the last two or three weeks, you know, of my life. Realizing as a man, as a human being, I'm the male, you know, that I could not have life without the life givers. There literally are life givers, the females, the women in our world. They can carry us to who I am today. My mother carried me for 9 months. Might have been less a day, add a day, but it was 9 months. She carried me. And if she did not do that, I would not have life. So I just want to raise my hands to all the life givers, especially the ones of my nephews here that I'm working with today and yesterday and tomorrow. Because of that gift that they put out into the world, these two young men, to help me. I'm thankful. I say Chajka, or I'll say Kukstumukka, or Inshinuknukwa. I'll say thank you, my friends and relatives, for these two young men here today. It took me a long time to develop an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful for what I have and not worry about what I don't have, you know, work for what I want, you know. So this has been a wonderful podcast about podcasting. And it is a gift for whoever listens. And when things resonate with you, please pass it on to, you'll never know, one of your nephews or nieces or brother or sister or friend might need the message, might be what they needed to hear. Because I was so grateful when I knew I was not alone with alcoholism. I was not the only one that struggled with that or with abandonment issues. You know, it's so, some of it's so silly, but we can't help it because we're a human being. I felt at times abandoned by my parents because they let me go to residential school. It's not that they said, let's send him. They had to. It was a law. So for me to let that go, I had to learn that truth. Like my nephew says, the truth was they didn't want me to go. You know, that they understood that it could be harmful there, that it would be danger there. And I know the other one was they wanted me to be successful. They wanted me to get an education to be successful. I know that was part of it. That was the truth of my mother and father. They wanted good things for me in my life. You know, and that fearlessness that we wake up now and say, okay, even if I get rejected, I'm going to go ask and I'll keep asking until I find it. Don't give up. Keep going. It's a wonderful message just from my guests on this podcast. And it's a and I say, thank you, my friends and relatives, until you hear me again. So I'm signing off on TIA now. Thank you.
Thank you. If you're a Canadian Indigenous student considering many life choices about your future, Inspire can help. If you need ideas about possible education or career path options specifically for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit folks like you, join Inspire's mentorship program, Rivers to Success. It's free to register, and you'll get plenty of up-to-the-minute information about university, college, and vocational trade schools. Most importantly, again, it's free. It's free, it's free, it's free. It's online, and we have monthly events with prizes. Discover the many potential job and study opportunities that are waiting for you across Turtle Island. Register online now at rivers2success.ca. Again, that's rivers2success.ca.
This is Bird Note. Hidden in a tree's dense leaves, a tiny Kentucky warbler sings its heart out. This shy bird's hard to see, but when it finally pops into view, it is well worth the wait. Bright yellow below with a dark green back, the Kentucky warbler has long black sideburns on its yellow face. Sideburns that some birders say remind them of Elvis. Kentucky warblers nest in forested regions in much of the east, preferring woodlands with a dense understory, often near streams or other wetlands. They winter in Central America, where they've adapted their hunting technique to follow swarms of army ants and snatch the insects the ants flush from cover. But these charismatic little birds can use our help. As their forest habitat shrinks, it's easier for brown-headed cowbirds to find and parasitize the Kentucky warblers' nests. While migrating, they're easy prey for domestic cats, so keeping cats indoors can save many warblers. And buying products like shade-grown coffee can help keep their tropical winter habitat in good shape. Because we want to make sure that warbler, with the sexy sideburns, keeps on singing. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.